Hey guys, I'm Heidi Preeb. Welcome back to my channel, or welcome if you're new here. This winter on this channel, we've been talking about rupture, self-recovery, and repair. And as we get ready to transition into that last part of the process, the repair piece, I wanted to somewhat counterintuitively start out with a video on knowing when not to do exactly that. So when it is not in our best interests to keep persisting and repairing something that might not be working for us. So, an adage that I've seen kind of floating around different corners of the internet in recent years is this idea that people who make for the best leaders, or just people who tend to be successful over the long term in various areas of their lives, aren't necessarily the people who know how to persevere the hardest despite any circumstances. They're often the ones who have that sense of grit and that capacity to persevere, paired with the ability to recognize when it is time to stop persevering at something. And I think that that skill, so the skill of knowing when to quit, is something that might actually be getting kind of severely dampened for people in the modern age because of the fact that we live in an attention economy. Okay, so this is a very ironic thing to be communicating via the medium of YouTube, but that's what I have. But for most of the time that humans have been alive, we've lived in an age where the main way to get more feedback about our problems was to actually go out into the world and engage more with our problems and update on them, right? So if it was 20 years ago and we were in an argument with our friend Joe, we might go home and kind of grumble about him and maybe call up one friend and see what they thought. But we would pretty quickly arrive at the point where the easiest way to get more data about the situation would be to go to Joe and ask some version of, hey, why did you say that thing that you said? Or do that thing that you did? And then get real-time feedback on it. Nowadays, we have the option to go home, turn our phones on Do Not Disturb, and spend 2 weeks watching online content that diagnoses Joe with 5 different personality disorders before the point where it might even occur to us to try having another conversation with him and reality testing the things that we've been thinking and wondering about since that first conversation. So we have that option, whether we take it or not, to stay super engaged with most of our problems in an indirect way, by getting sucked into a virtual world of sense-making about our problems without having direct contact with them. And what that means is that the timeline for gathering that real-world data that we need in order to make an informed decision about something extends massively. That might be a good thing if we're making super high stakes decisions that require really careful and methodical research into something, but it's usually not great for the smaller decisions that would benefit from us gathering enough data quickly to be able to say no to them at the right point. And so that's what we're going to spend our time on today, developing some super simple heuristics for things that it probably works in our favor to give up on as quickly and early as possible, so that we can free up more space in our lives for meaningful things to come into them. So in short, we're going to be looking at which battles it's going to be really useful for us to voluntarily lose in life in order to win more important wars. Starting with number one, we have to be willing to lose any battles that it costs us our self-respect to play. So battles that can only be won through making bad faith moves. Now, this is one of the easiest ones to agree to on the surface, but one of the hardest ones to implement because it can feel so natural to think that the way we win back our integrity when it's been compromised is to win whichever bad faith game compromised it in the first place. Okay, so to finally get that manipulative person to see that we are good and worthy of respect, some part of us thinks that's how I get back to a good place, right? Or to arrive at that perfect gotcha statement that exposes the other person's hypocrisy online or whatever it is. Winning a game that is built around corrupt rules is one of the most compelling yet completely hollow victories out there because it comes at the expense of our integrity. So a reframe that kind of changed my life at a certain point when I was considering leaving a really challenging and not particularly great faith relationship was realizing that it was actually sort of unethical for me to spend the amount of time and energy that I had been spending trying to prove my own goodness or worthiness inside of a bad faith system. Okay, because the opportunity cost involved in that was massive. That same energy applied elsewhere to a system that was capable of and happy to absorb and grow through the things that I had to contribute was very likely to cause thriving not only for myself, but for other people. If we want to lead good and fulfilling lives, we will sometimes have to lose the battle of proving our worth inside of a rigged system in order to win the war of finding the environments that can support and expand upon the good skills that we have to offer the world. So losing the battles that diminish and drain us can allow us to reallocate that energy towards fighting the battles that have the capacity to compound in the direction of the good and the true and the beautiful, which leads naturally to point number two. We have to be willing to lose any battle that is making us smaller and weaker the longer we play it. So in really simple terms, when we're evaluating whether to persist or desist a given course of action, one of the main things we want to be checking in on is what is happening to our life force energy. So that means our vitality, our curiosity, our embodied desire or lack thereof to get up in the mornings and try again and again and again. There's this quote by Jerry Gillis. I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but I first heard it when I was a teenager. And it goes, you will recognize your path when you come upon it, because you will suddenly have all of the energy and imagination that you will ever need. And I do think that that quote is a little bit of an idealization, sure, but nonetheless, it is pointing in the right direction when we're looking at finding best fit environments for ourselves. Now, before we dive a little deeper into that point, I just want to take a quick minute to thank the sponsor of today's video, Factor. When it comes to showing up well for the people in our lives, it always starts with showing up well for ourselves, which is why I'm excited to talk about Factor. Factor delivers fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted meals straight to your door and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That means no cooking, no planning, and no cleanup afterwards. What I love about Factor is that it's not just convenient, the food is actually good. So we're talking 30 to 50 grams of protein per meal, no refined seed oils, no artificial ingredients, and over 100 rotating weekly options, including high protein, low carb, calorie smart, and many more options. I know that for myself, when I'm not spending a whole bunch of mental energy figuring out what I'm going to eat and when, I have so much more to give to my work, to my relationships, to the people that I care about. And all of that stuff is what we're here to focus on. So if you want to try out Factor for yourself, you can head to factor75.com or click the link below and use the code PREBFB50 to get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code PREBFB50 at factor75.com to 50% off plus free breakfast for 1 year. This offer is only valid for new Factor customers with the code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. Now, back to the fine art of losing the battles that it is weakening our life force to play. So, essentially, when we are looking at whether to persist or desist a given course of action, a really important question we can ask ourselves is, have I grown more or diminished more in the time that I've been engaging with this thing? So, how is my health doing the longer that I try at this? How are my relationships doing? Or my other relationships, if what we're evaluating is a romantic connection, right? Do I feel overall happier and more expanded when I'm engaging in this thing? Or more depleted and less like myself as time goes on? The long game that we want to be fighting to win here is the game of designing a life that functions as an upwards spiral, not a downwards one. So I have this one friend who is, in my opinion, just a really good faith actor in the world, someone that I respect a lot. And early on in getting to know this friend, I asked him about what motivated him in his work, because he had a career he was super dedicated to that was making really positive waves in the mental health space. And he told me that for the majority of his life, he'd lived with anxiety. So for as long as he could remember, he'd been hyper-tuned to all of the ways in which one small thing in life could go wrong, that could lead to a cascade of increasingly terrible things happening. And then one day, after decades of struggling with this, he decided to ask himself the question, what if I stopped trying to change the structure of my thinking? And instead, I just tried plugging different content into my mind. So what if I use the way that my mind naturally works, which is to focus on small causes that lead to huge effects, to start thinking about all of the tiniest changes I could make in the world that could potentially lead to massively positive and beautiful and generative outcomes down the line? And so he decided to start consciously putting his attention on those things. And he went on to do a lot of really incredible work in the world. And the point here is that to some extent, we can all choose to orient our way of thinking in this direction too, right? So to stay conscious and aware of which things we're engaging with that are depleting us and leading us to more and more negative outcomes versus which things are expanding us and bringing out the best parts of ourselves more and more. And then we can start being intentional about putting ourselves in more and more situations that are going to do a lot more of the latter than the former. Number three, lose any battle that requires you to stay dysregulated in order to win. So if point number two is looking at the kind of steady downward slopes that we can happen into in life, what we're looking at here are any habits or careers or relationships we might get into that disrupt our ability to integrate, learn, and grow, which is exactly what happens when we frequently find ourselves outside of our window of tolerance without a clear way of getting back into it and integrating what has happened. So that might look like being in an unhealthy relationship, right? Where we are routinely being either provoked or misunderstood in ways that we find really activating. Or it might look like engaging heavily with outrage culture on the internet. So constantly winning arguments or gaining attention by saying the most inflammatory thing that we can think of to say, or by staying attuned to the most rage-inducing topics that are available to us. These might win us the battle of short-term engagement or the battle of intermittently feeling connected with someone, but they require us to be frequently operating from an unintegrated, triggered state. So states of rage or dissociation or activation, right? All of those states are ones that massively disrupt our ability to learn in a deep way, to integrate important lessons, to make wise decisions for our future that we're going to actually be capable of following through on. Whereas when we focus on structuring our lives around things that stabilize and regulate us, at least most of the time, we start becoming capable of all of the above. Because we can actually be at home inside of our own nervous systems, which means we're no longer fighting an ongoing battle against ourselves and our own conflicted decision-making. I remember reading once that securely attached people tend to double down on creating stability for themselves when they're going through stress, because that stability allows them to stay aware of and then integrate information about what matters to them on both a cognitive and an emotional level. Right? And that sort of regulation in our inner world gives us a quality of life that almost nothing in our external world can offer us. Anytime we are locked in a debate or a situation where the way to win is to dysregulate ourselves and or other people enough to rally the most emotion around our perspective, we're already probably losing a fighting battle. We need to get really comfortable losing the battle of responding to rage bait or to anything designed to provoke us outside of our window of tolerance in order to win the war of getting our peace of mind and our peace of nervous system back. Number four, lose any battles that require you to suppress your authenticity to win. Inauthenticity is one of the greatest and most central disruptors of a good life, and here is why. When the core organizing principles of our lives are authentic and aligned with what we actually want and feel, what happens is our lives begin to reproduce more and more of what is right for us naturally. Okay, so putting ourselves in a social network of people who are curious about the same things that we're curious about is pretty likely to lead to more and more introductions to other people that we might want to be close to, or putting work out into the world that we feel genuinely aligned with and excited about, is likely to yield more and more leads on other projects that we'd feel aligned with or excited about. Or moving somewhere where our core values are pretty aligned with the culture of the place that we're moving to is likely to lead to a higher than average number of opportunities to connect with people and projects that would be a good fit for us. And all of those same things are true in the opposite direction. Right? Inauthentic representation of ourselves begets more and more inauthentic connections, inauthentic opportunities, misaligned incentives, the list goes on. And it's not that we're never going to have to suppress any part of ourselves in life, right? That's pretty unrealistic. But the long game that we're fighting to win here is the game of being able to design a life that feels increasingly aligned with who we are at the core the longer we go on living it. So to create sustainable systems for ourselves. So losing the battles that we'd have to be behaving inauthentically to win is often a much wiser move than it looks like on the surface, because it ends up freeing up our energy to pursue whatever course of action might not pay off right away, but will lead us to much more alignment long term. All right, fifth and final thing we're going to talk about today is we have to be willing to lose any battles that are being fought super downstream of their origin points. So we're going to get way more into what that means in the next series that we do on this channel after rupture and repair. But the idea is that some problems are actually symptoms of way deeper problems. And the energy that it takes to repeatedly address the symptoms can sometimes be squandering the energy that we really need to get at that root cause. So if we are anxiously or avoidantly attached, trying to kind of white knuckle it through taking the actions that we think a securely attached person would take is going to be way higher effort and lower reward than getting directly in touch with the core wounds that we have around love and relationships and working on changing those internalized beliefs at their root. Or if we are, let's say, stuck in an endless loop of watching self-help content that's aimed at helping us increase our discipline and harness more willpower, but the real problem is that we're pursuing goals we just do not actually care that much about, we can gain so much energy and time back by going upstream and figuring out what it is that we actually want to be working on. So what actually makes us want to get up and do our work first thing in the morning without having to watch a whole bunch of videos about it first? If it feels like we keep unconsciously sabotaging our health or our physical well-being, rather than endlessly berating ourselves for not having more self-restraint, we could get curious about which types of comfort we might be lacking and then find strategies for fulfilling those needs in other ways. Right? And this list can go on and on, but the point here is that being willing to lose some of the downstream battles is sometimes a very necessary step in clearing up the time and energy that we need to travel upstream and figure out what's creating and what's perpetuating those painful cycles that we might be chronically finding ourselves stuck in. And with any of the things that we've talked about today, it's not that we don't want to practice or employ grit, right? It's that the amount of psychological grit we have is finite. So we want to have the capacity to swim against the current when we need to in life. But we also want to find as many routes as possible that get us to that end destination in a way that moves with the current. As a super quick rule of thumb here, if we're never or almost never in a state of resistance, we're probably not aiming high enough with our goals in life. But if we are perpetually in a state of resistance, we might be exhausting ourselves unnecessarily by fighting the wrong battles. So what we're looking for in all of these is the highest leverage points available to us for changing our lives. So we want to be picking the careers, the relationships, the projects, anything that we spend a lot of time and energy on from a whole system perspective, where we're really looking at, does this battle that I'm fighting have a solid return on investment? Or is there a bigger battle that I could be spending my time on that's going to elevate my life across the board with that very same level of investment? Right? We're looking at environmental fit, not just the capacity to endlessly flex that muscle of perseverance. All right, I think that's all we're going to say for today on this topic, but As always, any questions, curiosities, thoughts that have been coming up for you as you've gone through this video, please leave them in the comment section below. I love you guys. I hope you're taking care of yourselves and each other. And I will see you back here again really soon.